Welcome to Kerberos Productions' intermittent podcast about our current works in progress, the video game biz in general, to anything that tickles our fancy in those spare moments between progressing and our work. Welcome to Curbstop. Do you remember how this goes?
I have not the foggiest idea.
We kind of fell short on the promise of we'll be doing little pickups here and there.
It's just our parents on a duck listening anyway, so.
That's not true. Parents.
Sorry, parents and two ducks.
Two ducks and four people.
Yeah.
Welcome to Curbstop, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart, producer at Kerberos Productions. And as always, I'm stuck here with
Martin Solis, CEO, creative director, and all-around awesome dude.
Shining light.
Messiah.
Cult guru. That's right.
And grumpy old man.
Sorry, guys. As usual, we go, you know what? We should make time. And then we get very busy, and we don't make time.
Because we need more personal assistance. Let's make that clear.
We could have had free interns, but then, what's their names? Hootsuite. Ruined it for everybody in this town.
By making it illegal.
More like abusing it to the point of past tolerance with the city.
Yeah, well, thank God, because someone has to make those useless Facebook apps.
Right? it's E3 week. Where do we start? Let's start with company business.
Shouldn't we start the name of the podcast? Curbstop! We're Curbstopping!
We don't do that. I said, welcome to Curbstop.
That's boring. No wonder it's boring. No wonder we only have parents and ducks listening to this.
There is music and all that beforehand.
Your head?
Oh, God. I'm not buying
Did you take your meds?
I'm not buying a soundboard just so you can hear them live.
I want live mixing. Yes,
it's E3 week. We're not there this year. We were there last year on some businessy stuff. This year, our business has kept us close to home.
E3 report. This is our E3 report. The report is we're completely jaded.
Well, we'll get to that in the industry. That's the second section. That's industry, but it's close to home. Business. Kerberos business.
Okay, well, let's start in an organized.
That's where we start. Yeah.
So Kerberos news. Kerberos news. Things Kerberos is doing to be news.
We're still working on a thing we can't talk about.
Yes.
But
but it's not the cool thing you're thinking. Just lower your expectations.
Yeah, lower your expectations. It's something else entirely.
But it does pay the bills, so that's good. They'll never listen to this podcast anyways. We should be fine.
We talked about it before, though. We're working with somebody else.
Yeah.
It's very cool, but it's not our boat.
It's not a Kerberos property.
We're helping. Right? We're not steering, per se. Exactly. They yell things like mizzen mast and poop deck, and we go, yep, okay.
If only they would yell things.
In the meantime, since we last recorded, we went to a couple places, including NorwestCon.
Yes.
And we let the world touch the thing we talked about last time, which is board game.
Right, in the sense of the world was consists of 16 people, yes.
Yes, okay. Well, no, that was a good...
No, it was closer to 20 people, that's right. Over the course of the weekend...
At one point, we had three tables playing.
Yeah. Well, two tables of the pit board game and one table of...
We had three pits going at one point.
Really? We actually had three boards on the go?
And Control was playing. Then. So we had a number, and given the size of the...
30 people.
Given the size of the NorwestCon gaming thing. I mean, it's the Pacific Northwest.
Totally dominated their gaming room. Well, except for the Magic the Gathering tournament.
And the Cards Against Humanity and stuff like that. No, it was good. We got two things came out of it. One, the people who played it enjoyed it.
Yes.
And two, we saw a whole bunch of things that we decided we maybe needed to stop. And it was the first time the game had contact with the public that wasn't us.
Therefore, we noticed more things than the public did. Right.
Yes. They enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it.
We did get some feedback, but mostly it was us watching
about
them.
Those terrible counters you made.
Oh, well.
That's generally the biggest feedback. No, it was good. We tuned a couple abilities.
Yes, we should reiterate for anybody who doesn't remember Dice Time or hasn't listened before. The Pit, our game The Pit, based in the Sword of Stars universe, made a board game version. So a roguelike board game.
Yes, roguelike board game. Which descends you through four abstracted floors of the pits, going into rooms and fighting the board game version of classic pit monsters.
Yeah.
Before you get to the final floor and to a massive melee.
That's right. Figures abound.
With a Zoolord.
Massive item cards and a massive amount of monster cards.
But if you're a fan of the computer game, everything will be... It is all awesome, cool, cute translations of things from the video game.
Yeah, turned into... Made physical.
So you have Dune Stalkers and...
All that
moon bears and
robots.
Many robots, security bots, all your favorite security bots.
Yeah.
All the proteins you could love.
This is the first time we've ever made a board game and then let the public play it. We've had lots of experience with making PC games and letting the public touch it. And that turns out that's a different animal in a couple of ways.
One, it is easy to adjust a computer game and to make changes. When you're dealing with physical reality, your lag time for a change is about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's almost like making video games for a major publisher.
I thought of this the other day because speaking of interns, we have a young gentleman named Johnny who's been working on some stuff for us web-wise and all
that. Our super awesome new website, if you've gone to it while trying to figure out where the forums are.
Yeah. Yeah. Back off. They're there. You just can't see them. Look over there. He found a site where you can make a browser version of a board game.
Oh yeah, we were looking at that. Yeah,
and I'm sitting there going, "I wish we'd known about this a year ago. We actually could have done a virtual prototyping phase.
It would have saved my eyesight from cutting out millions of little cards,
and a bit of money for prototype printing and all that too. But that was. The game is still the same. We made some fairly decent tweaks.
We just tweaked and twaddled a few things.
Yeah.
It's the game. The best part about the game is that people were picking it up after the first two rounds. Players who had never played the game before were teaching it to other players who had just showed up to step into the game.
Yeah.
Right. So, literally you can grasp almost everything you need about the game in the first two rounds.
Right. You're probably going to need to hold the mic closer to your mouth. I'm just saying. Don't make it uncomfortable. Don't make it uncomfortable.
Which body part should it be going into?
Two rounds.
Within two rounds, everybody had it all worked out. The pattern of the game. You just have to look up special rules and stuff.
But. That was the biggest success, is that the basics of the game were easy to pick up.
Yep.
And it's not a complicated game. It's just we offer... Much like our PC
game. There's a ton of variety.
There's a lot of variety, a lot of content, a lot of monsters. We're concerned that might be overwhelming. It's not.
Because people get used to the fact that it's like, oh, it's something new and different. Also, the tension level is quite high, so that's good.
Yes. So, we're back to the drawing board. We'll definitely, actually, the board game will be a good reason to come back and do another podcast, because we're getting pretty close to...
Kickstarting it,
getting out in the world with it, so...
We know what we want, and now we're just checking out the ins and outs of building games and publishing physical things in the physical world.
Yeah.
And the figurine collection for it will be spectacular. So those of you who like the look of the pits or are looking for Sotsverse figs to run your RPGs with.
Yeah.
Or just saying, if someday there's a Sots RPG, just saying. This would be an excellent start for your collection.
Yeah, it'll be, I'm sorry.
His excitement's overwhelming.
That was really badly timed yawn.
Yes, exactly.
Good heavens.
Yes, it's raining.
It's into the world
outside. It's a cold, rainy day here in Vancouver in our sanctum sanctorum of gaming.
Of gaming. Well, I was going to get to that. That was more, we'll get to that. We will get to that.
Will we?
Yes, we will. I'll write it down.
The end?
This is me pretend writing down.
Sorry. I just finished an R.L. Stine script. The end?
The end? Is it?
Is it?
R.L.
is the same fucking script from last week. Is it?
Is it?
Stop that. You're going to be fired. The end?
The end?
Stine, get out of this office. Is it the end? Yes.
Yes. You're done.
You're done.
Hand in your typewriter.
Do you have goosebumps?
Shut up. Are you afraid of the dark? Out!
Out!
Get out! So it's gonna go wide to the world pretty soon. We let the general public Yep. Which was a real good test touch at this time. We're planning now next time.
Whenever you do a board game, you have to do a public.
We're going to have public touches again. This time, though, since we're going to do it closer to home rather than heading down to Washington State, we'll probably tap in a lot of people we know that are gamers themselves.
Yeah, a few gaming stores.
Right? Gaming stores, people who have made games and all that. We want...
Right now, the major thing is just rule book clarifications.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And that's where these guys are good at that. Yeah. If you say, here, we're not going to tell you how to play.
Yes, the hardest part now is to hand it over and stay hands-off, right? As in, we have to hand it over to four people who have never played it before, give them a copy of the rules, and see what happens.
And it can't just be random people.
No.
You don't necessarily want to do the mom test with this one. You actually kind of want the gamer test with this one.
Yeah, no. Yeah. People buy $40 board games.
Exactly. If it makes sense to them, then we're golden. And then we're gonna kickstart that monster. But that's it. Everything else is hush hush. We didn't talk about Control last time, though, did we?
Control! Remember, there's an exclamation mark at the end.
Control!
No, that's two exclamation marks. I pushed for two, but I only got one, so it's just Control.
Control. Control. Too many. Sorry, they're all over the place.
The drink from Middleman.
I don't remember
that. It's an energy drink. That's just three exclamation marks.
Okay, I get it now.
Yep.
There's a few things we're probably going to post online, actually, about some other.
By the way, you get an achievement on Steam if you can figure out every reference in a podcast. Just keep that in mind. I'm lying.
Does Dave know how to program that? Has he programmed that? We'll just leave it there for now. Board games is kind of the biggest thing that we can talk about. Control.
Hard game.
Yeah. We're still trying to figure out what to do with that one, because that one, it's a simpler game. It's a card. What kind of genre would you call it? It was a... what's Escalation? Like a...
card game.
Like, there's different kinds.
No, but it's not a build a deck, right? So it's a card game. Basically, you have six planets, which represent the six racial symbols from Sots, which are the suits of the cards, and you can only use those cards to conquer the matching planets.
Yeah.
And every time you go through a round and you try and take over other people's take over planets.
It's points gathering.
It's points gathering.
It's points gathering card game. Yeah.
It's very quick. It's very dirty. Lots of cards to ruin each other's days with.
Yeah. Right? It's technically empire building in a very abstract sense.
Super abstract. And a hand takes 15 minutes.
It's very fast. I don't know if anybody is familiar with Escalation. You introduced me to Escalation.
It's from the same family as Escalation. Smash Up?
Yeah.
Right? There's elements of Smash Up, elements of Escalation. But those type of games. If you like those kind of games.
Yeah, there's probably some 200, 300-year-old game that uses a standard deck of cards that is the exact same thing, like trying to trump one another.
No, not the exact same thing. No, not at all. But I did simulate it with...
Well, 300 years ago, I didn't think they had planets involved or anything like that. But
sure. What are you, part of the church hierarchy?
Is Go Fish a points-based thing? Because it is about...
Hey, folks, he's officially reaching, and I need to turn off
this
off.
No, I'm trying to figure out what the genre is. It's got to be a genre.
Card game. Card game covers it. Right?
No, because poker's in there.
Yeah, it's fine. Poker is technically about doing something with points, because some hands are worth more than others, right?
That's not what the Poker Network would let you do.
Yeah, well, you know, they keep telling you that you can,
fine.
You can win a $250,000 by signing up for $20.
That one is not, you know, your gaming store... box title like Mansions of Madness and stuff like that.
No, it goes on the front of the gamer store where all the card games out there, right?
Yeah.
So if you play Dutch, you'll find it in the section with Dutch Blitz or Love Letter or all those lighter, right?
My point being is we haven't quite figured how we're going to get that out to the world, but definitely that's coming out this year. It may just appear in your stores one day, or we may go online and start talking to you about it. We don't know. But it is a much different animal, production-wise and all that.
And time investment-wise, right? Like, it's a game, for those of you who do gaming nights, it's kind of the game to open the gaming night with. Play with your friends for half an hour, and then move on to...
Get some animosity brewing,
And off you go. And then move on to, like, terraforming Mars or something like that.
All right, that's enough about us. Let's talk about the rest of the world.
Rest of the world? What about the rest of the world?
We move into industry talk now.
Industry talk. Things are going on. People expect us to be excited about E3, but we're not.
My friend, you've met Dan. He was saying this is his 23rd E3.
Yet he hasn't chosen the Path of Darkness?
No, I don't know. And maybe he's at Ubisoft right now.
That's worse than ending at all.
He's been attending as journalist for most of that, and then the last 6 or so years he's been with Ubisoft and kind of what I did. All that. Yeah.
Except it was shorter periods of time.
Yeah. So I think he's down there now showing off. Last year it was the South Park. I think he's still, they're showing off more of the South Park game. I think South that's kind of what he's on.
There, yeah.
He oversees, what is it, that guitar game that Ubisoft has. It's the real one. You actually have to use a real guitar.
I know the one you're talking about.
The name that eludes me at the moment, but that's also in his purview. But yeah, he was like 23 years. And we have a number of friends that are in the industry that some went, some didn't. And those that went are like, yeah, holy crap, this is, you know, 15, 16, 18. It's
a long time for a weird little hobby.
Yeah, basically. This year, what was last year? Last year was VR.
Yeah, the birth of VR, where we walked around. Like, if you want to figure out a way to make an E3 the most boring experience on Earth, create devices that cause other people to have to sit and watch people with giant goggles on their head wave their heads around. That's not very exciting.
This year, the impressions I got, well, I know online reaction was that not a lot of new stuff, a lot of revisiting or porting, a
lot of sequels. The big hardware news is the liquid cooled Xbox One X. I call it the Lane edition. Those of you who've seen Serial Experiments Lane will know what I'm talking about.
The Xbox, the Xbox box, the Xbox One, the Xbox One box, the Xbox One box X, the Xbox.
Does it sell seashells?
Xbox One Xbox. No. Anyways, where they're slapping in Kinect is built in and
4K. The real thing most people care about is 4K support built in. The only thing I'm interested in about it, concern wise, is suddenly we have a hierarchy of power in machines. So the path in the future is, are there games that run slower on your Xbox One instead of your special Xbox One? Or is your special Xbox One kind of grinding its gears because there's no game out there that will really push its limit? Because if it does, it'll run like a dead turtle.
Yeah.
See, that's weird. We're used to that with different consoles.
Yeah. Right?
Like the 360 to the One, right?
Yeah.
But now it's the same. It's just an upgrade. Now we're in dangerous PC land.
We are, yes.
Like, we're all used to that in PC, but console gamers are not used to it. You buy a brand name item, all the games run at full speed on it to the end.
Yeah. I mean, my assumption is that they've built in put it in the Xbox One X, it's fantastic.
You
throw it in the Xbox One, it starts turning down settings automatically.
Yeah, and I actually suspect that the vast majority of games will only use it for 4K, right?
Yeah.
Like, the big complaint a year from now is that this machine is awesome, why are there no games that push it to its limit?
Yeah.
Although with the indie market, someone could make an indie. Like, indies are kind of freed from that concern.
That's right? True. What kind of game would an indie make that would really push a system, though?
Poorly made and optimized.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What have you learned from 20 years in the PC industry?
All right.
More power means sloppier programming.
Sloppier programming, that's true. less frugal art.
Right. Like, if you applied the standards that we had to follow for Cataclysm to make Cataclysm run on a PC.
Oh, yeah.
And apply it to what we're doing now, you could literally travel through time.
Yeah,
right?
Basically. I didn't catch much of, I did watch a couple of streams. I watched a bit of the VR one, mostly because Ivan Reitman, they gave Ivan Reitman some coffee and then told him not to be too grumpy and put him up on stage to talk about it. Because right now Sony has two different Ghostbusters products in the world of VR. One is on the PS4 VR setup, which means it's with the system, that's $1,200 total to go play it. Or The Void, which means if you want to play it by yourself, you either travel to New York, thousands of dollars, or you set up your own Void business. Millions of dollars!
I am sorry, I have serious concerns about the lack of sanity in the console makers and this leaping on the VR thing. I haven't looked at the numbers closely, so maybe I'm mistaken. So if there's been 2 million PS4 VR headset sold.
No, the last time I looked was a few months ago, and it was not encouraging.
Right. So the Star Trek Bridge Commander game came out.
Yes.
Which looks very cool.
Yes.
But I would enjoy playing that game.
Minor spike.
Right. That's what I mean, right? It's just like, so I looked at it, and I'm always interested in games which may cause me to get hardware, right?
Yeah.
So, for instance, the classic example is Soul Calibur.
Right.
I saw the first Soul Calibur, and I said, I must have a Dreamcast.
Right.
I must play this game.
Right.
Right. And so that cost me. Actually, I won it, but... At the Barking Dog Christmas.
You did.
No, I didn't. What did I win?
Oh.
I won a snowboard.
Oh, and you traded it
to the dude who won the Dreamcast. Best trade ever.
Because you'll never see Martin on a snowboard.
No, I ski, but I'm a snowboard. That's silly. But anyway.
My statement stands.
Exactly. But the point being is, I still use that Dreamcast. It still works, right?
Yeah.
But the point is, that was a game. There you go. That was a game where I said, I must have a piece of, like, it is worth it to play this game.
Right.
Bridge Commander kind of is not I must, but I'm now interested. And then I just looked up the numbers and I went, like, I'm not $500 interested, right? $700 interested.
Yeah.
And also, and then you cut to the thing. It's like, play with your friends, right? Because it's a bridge thing.
Yeah.
Right. So each person needs a VR headset.
Yeah.
Who am I just slumming with you guys too much? Like, should I be hanging around with richer friends?
Yes.
Right? Because seriously, right? I hang around with 35 to 45 year old professionals. None of us are like, oh yeah, I want to play that game with you. I will plunk down my $500. It's like,
what I got out of round table discussion, panel discussion with Ivan Reitman is they had Ivan Reitman because they wanted an actual filmmaker
there.
And he, of course, with the Sony games, he could talk about it. It tied together nicely. His whole thing was very, he's like, I'm essentially retired, but this is all very exciting. And one day they'll figure it all out. Happy to be here. Please buy Ghostbusters. The guys who actually were making this stuff, like the Void guys and all that, the stuff they were excited about were open world things, because the one thing they can't solve is they're like, it's the future filmmaking. And I was like, how do you make a film when you can't make sure the audience is staring at the thing you need them to stare at?
Okay, so 15 years ago, at the birth of 3D panorama television fantasies, there was 3D sports.
Yeah.
Right? So, and the ability that they'll film it with 20 different cameras and you will just have full virtual camera control, right? So, what's that technology in the real world? Well, it's 20 minutes of drinking beer and trying to look down tops in the audience. And then it's endless hours of where the hell did the football go?
Yeah.
Because here's the newsflash, people. Camera work is a professional skill.
Yep.
No offense, but the vast majority of us do not have it.
Yeah.
And football is actually a good example of that, because maybe once or twice a game, you will see a fake so good that the cameramen are fooled.
Yeah.
And you end up watching a part of the field where there's no ball.
Yeah.
And then you can tell a producer scream at the top of his lungs and the camera corrects.
Yeah.
Now imagine doing that yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
The only thing I can think of, and nobody's doing this yet, I'm not even sure if you can technically do it with the consoles or not, but what basically the VR world is waiting for to crack it all open is A, price point. We talked about this last time. It's got to get cheaper.
Yeah.
And B, a massively multiplayer game has to come along, because those things don't have the traditional...
Really? Like, that horror that we just watched like an hour ago was going to be better with giant 40-pound goggles on your head?
Okay, I'm not saying... No, but...
That's another story. We'll talk about
that. Like an EverQuest, though? Like...
Yeah, I know, but I mean, no, okay, so...
Where you can run around and look at whatever you want.
You love Ghostbusters more than life itself.
I have a son now. Technically, I'm supposed to say I'll die for him before anything else, but okay, fine. Right.
Okay, fine. Let's say he's wearing a Ghostbusters t-shirt.
It solves it. The moral conundrum is much easier now. Go ahead.
Now, I have the Magic Techno E3 Fantasy Ray.
Yes.
And I shine it on you, and I shine it on Ghostbusters.
Right.
And I make it a completely helmeted 3D experience.
Okay.
You can wander through that entire movie.
Okay.
Now... eliminate the part of your brain that's going to be like looking at people's shoe sizes right. and coming up trivia about like buttons on shirts
uh-huh.
and go straight to the experience of enjoying that movie.
Right.
Are you going to enjoy it at the same level as watching?
No. What I'm arguing is movies don't work.
Right.
Traditional game narrative, rail narratives don't work.
Right.
Even branch narratives don't work. What I'm talking about is an EverQuest where
right.
there is no narrative structure.
Right. A battlefield.
Just
right.
meet your pals.
Right.
Go to a field. Fight the monster.
But look at the right. But you're talking about bringing the price point down. The price point has to come down to like $50. Right.
Yeah.
No, because think about it. I'm offering
you. It'll never hit $50.
I know, but I'm offering you the EverQuest experience.
I'm thinking $200.
Oh, I'm offering you the EverQuest experience to what? 1 million users.
Sure.
Then the fantasy is that those 1 million users are all going to cough up $200 extra.
Right.
Maybe. 500, they ain't.
No. Right?
You know.
You can't ask them to pay $600.
Dude, come over to play Bridge Commander at my house. Oh, you have to buy a controller for $40.
Yeah.
You probably would.
Yes.
Dude, you have to buy a VR goggles for $50. You probably would. If I talked it up, you probably would.
Sure.
Dude, come on over. I don't have the goggles. Dude, they're only $200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right. the consoles themselves are also the rarefied gaming thing.
Well, they are, but you're already in. You've already bought.
Right.
Right? Like, that's it, because you're not buying.
This discussion ends with us just saying, did you want to make a small bet? Because frankly, all it comes down to is if in 3 years somebody makes some sort of massively multiplayer VR world, the price point drops to $200 and whether it takes off or not.
Can't you play World of Warcraft with VR goggles on these days? I think you can.
Can you?
I think so.
Bleh.
I just don't think anybody cares.
The
point is, okay.
This yeah, see, remember way back when there. Oh, well, then there's a good point. Remember the 3D monitors that came out?
Right.
So anything could be 3D. As long as it was a game, technically yeah. it's being rendered in 3D, the monitor would just automatically okay. do the polarization and the thing. Okay. Never took off.
I've seen Wonder Woman in 3D.
And I've seen
Wonder Woman 2D.
Right.
A week apart.
Right.
Which was better? The 2D one.
Okay.
For the very, if nothing else.
Right.
There was nothing between me and the experience.
True.
I was watching the movie.
True.
The other one, I had these stupid glasses on top of my glasses.
Right.
And I was getting weird vision. You always get weird vision artifacts in 3D. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it didn't add anything to me. It just like, it didn't.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm coming at it. A little bit.
The point being,
I'm
about to get to the point of what the world is waiting for. What the world is waiting for.
I was trying to figure out the
go back to Ivan Reitman
cynical version.
Rewind to Ivan Reitman.
Yes,
because I guarantee you what he was thinking was
right.
The same thing that they think about making 3D movies in general, which is this whole thing is a complete and utter gimmick until some director makes a movie that is unwatchable, not in 3D.
Right.
Right. And I'm not talking because it's blurry. I'm talking about because
right.
the narrative experience is flawed without 3D. Right?
Yeah.
And that is, I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying that's what the world is waiting for.
Right.
And the studios refuse to do it. It's all, no matter how much money they spend, like 3D-ing Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It's all Dr. Tongue's 3D House of Pancakes. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Would you like some syrup?
Yeah,
right?
Although it kind of goes along with your other point that 3D movies, they had their initial heyday with the anaglyph, the colored ones, which hit a level where people are like, I don't want to look through blue, green, red right. anymore. It's not great.
And heyday is a strong word. I mean, the hula hoop had a heyday.
And then it died off.
Yeah.
And then the polarization came back, but the price right. point was high, kind of tipped off.
Right, but no one is saying the hula hoop can be made the rebirth of human
no, but my,
exercise.
My point is now is that when we go to the theater
yeah.
and we get the glasses, we can ask for five, they'll happily hand them to us, and we can leave and go home with it,
yeah.
and they won't care. Like, the glasses...
Right, they're disposable. You're right. As far as the price point goes, there's no, other than it's embedded in the $13 movie price, right? Because they are charging us more.
Right.
The greater point I'm making, though, is that the 3D world, be it in games or movies,
yeah.
is waiting for some artist
yeah.
to make an experience that you need it for. And I'm sure everybody who played the apps that came with, the heck is the first goggles called?
Which one?
The one Roe had.
Oh, the Oculus
Rift. Oculus Rift, yeah. Right? The things where you're standing on things and falling off things and things are grabbing at you. It's like, yeah. Those are gimmick apps.
Okay? Yeah.
But the world, and it can be done, right? But there is yet to be a game or a movie.
Right.
Where I've gone, oh my God, they've got it. This is it. This is the experience.
Yeah.
Because sound movies had the same problem for the first few seconds.
Right.
No one knew how to use sound as an art form.
Right.
Therefore, like, they were just people talking and
I'm
shit.
I'm having a real hard time figuring out whether you're saying it's going to happen or
no,
not.
No, it can't. It just, it need, but that's what it needs.
Yeah.
If, right now, it's as if sound movies were frozen in the first 6 months.
Right.
Like the directors never evolved past those first 6 months of just turning on a
recorder. So, you don't think then, if the VR setups on consoles hit a $200 price point, right?
Let's
right. $100 to $200 or whatever. And they had Grand Theft Auto online. That wouldn't nope. break it open?
Nope. For, all right. Okay, for a bit. Okay. How much Wii Bowling are you doing right now?
That's not VR.
How much Wii Bowling are you doing right now?
Is this an elaborate trap answer, where you Mr. where you get me to say Mr. that the lovely Wii
Mr.
that
Sessions,
your family bought
Mr.
my
Sessions
family is sitting
run,
in a box somewhere?
Mr. Sessions, do not run out the 5 minute time limit on the question.
There's nothing wrong with my Wii.
And just
it's just in a box.
No, you're.
I don't know what Sessions sounds like.
No, be more southern and infer that question insulted you as a gentleman.
I'm insulted as a gentleman.
Yeah,
I can't do the
get word. Stuff, you corrupt good old boy. The point being, and please, nice good old boys, don't be offended by that. Just about the old and corrupt ones.
Yeah, keep going.
I don't know what the heck I was saying.
The Wii. How much Wii bowling
right,
I've done.
Right. So, the Wii, I did, and I know you did, played the crap out of that thing for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And why did we stop?
The Xbox came along?
No.
What?
Because they never did anything with it.
Right, okay.
The first gimmicks came out, and 3D movies and 3D games are frozen in that moment.
Sure.
Right? No one, the Wii could still be, those controllers could still be super awesome if Nintendo had spent the slightest effort
yeah.
investing in game designs that work them. Instead, they hit that millisecond delay, which you have to, right?
Yeah.
Which screws them for shooters, as Xbox learns again and again and again with their little scanner.
Yeah.
That was awesome for pretending to spot ghosts. have you seen that?
Yes.
It's
one of the Paranormal Activity ones.
Yeah, they all do it. They all do it. No, it's now standard equipment.
Standard equipment, okay. Right. Sure.
Yes, yeah. So using a device that's designed to connect dots that don't actually exist.
Yeah. All right.
The point is that no one's... The only money investment has gone into is just making games we already have better, right?
Yeah.
So the silent movies that came out, they just turned on a microphone. They're like just listening to people in a freaking barn.
Yeah.
And they were reading their lines like crap, right?
Yeah. I think what I'm arguing is if it was a tad more... Like, I'm not really taking into account the market. Because what you're looking at is a percentage of already a small market share.
Right.
The consoles
and the problem
are...
is that the industry makes the same fatal mistake every time. It goes nuts over pieces of a pie.
Yeah.
And it's idiotic.
Yeah.
Right? You and I both know what is the one true fact about hardware peripherals for consoles.
And
anybody can look this up. They have never boosted the sales significantly of the console. No. Right?
It's always so... Yeah.
Whatever the console comes up, it has to be released with it for it to make a difference.
Yeah.
If it is added on later, no one cares.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we'll see.
Those giant glowing PS3 sex toys they offer.
I think the biggest problem right now...
There has to be a landfill
pushing
full
this,
of them.
Probably. For pushing this forward is Valve seems to have backed down heavily.
Right.
Where
because,
a PC market of people developing stuff for VR...
No, right,
could have cracked it.
As much as money guys hate it, art has to lead the way.
Yeah,
someone, and I'm not saying it can't be done, but
yeah.
I I'm not that guy, but right? But someone has to be that guy.
Yes, but right? A PC rig,
or girl,
a PC rig and a PC VR rig and all that. Those price points were dropping.
They're still obscene, but yeah. They're $700.
Right? Which the Oculus Rift was not $700.
Yeah, no, no one even bothers with the Rift anymore, yeah, right? Have... Like that Bridge Commander thing, right? Yeah. Like they don't. They're not saying get this. And the one Oculus they
said a PlayStation exclusive?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not released on everything. That's why I kind of thought, okay, what they got going right. on. It's like, what they got
okay.
going
on. Yeah. That makes more sense then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
So literally, even the Oculus they're recommending for it is still upwards right. of, once you get all the doodads,
yeah.
it's upwards of 500, right?
Okay. I don't want to argue about VR anymore.
We're not arguing. We're griping. Let's move on to, well, also we're...
Dragon butts?
Dinosaur yeah, butts. Okay, yeah, first of all, some comments about live streaming. You as an audience, a lot of you like live streaming.
Take mic. Hold close.
And the comment. And the comment section.
Don't eat the mic. Oh. Just point it at your mouth. It's a directional mic.
That's not my mouth.
Anyway, keep going. You as an audience, continue.
No. You people as an audience. I'm not a good audience. A lot of you love streaming. A lot of you guys will like watching stuff on Twitch.
Yeah.
I do as well. Let's watching the live streaming commentary on the Xbox channel. Here's a thought. If you don't have anything to say, shut the front door, right? While watching the thing, a part of my eye is watching idiots from around the world.
Yeah.
Make like banging their head against the wall, throwing poop monkey gestures. Right? It's like, stop it. Just stop.
We were talking about it. It's the text equivalent of actually being there and standing behind them and waving at the camera. Right? Like, this is...
It's like the world. Yeah, exactly. But the world doesn't... Like, you know what? The world barely cares what you think is the best game in the world. But you know yeah. what? At least that's relevant. Right?
And
but that Xbox stream had some sort of free Gamers on Gold giveaway.
Yeah.
Of 100 messages going by every 10 seconds, so 10 a second.
Yeah.
Three of them were, how do I get my free game?
Yeah.
So you people who are promoting games using those methods,
yeah,
realize that you're lying to your employer, because all you care about is the numbers that you're getting on the Twitch chat channel,
yeah,
which you show off.
Yeah.
But if someone else were to come in from PR and going, your gimmick destroyed anything, any reasonable marketing of the thing we're trying to show off,
yeah,
that would complicate the issue.
Yeah.
So, more thoughtful, I think. Or, conversely, maybe we don't care what everybody on Earth thinks.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not sure that's the gimmick the world's been waiting for.
No.
And this is why I would suggest to companies with good PR stuff, which is, you know what? If the event is important to you, hire 10 real-time chat editors. Whose job is to read really fast and to click on messages that should filter through.
Yeah. I haven't watched any of the Twitch stuff. Twitch has that based on...
I've seen a few, right? Yeah. There's a few. People are catching on to this, right? But the point is, if I was just running Xbox, I had more money than God.
Yeah.
Why on earth would I cheap out on this stupid chat channel?
It's not like it's unknown, too, because I remember going back years that there would be online interviews.
Yes.
And whenever they would just put up the good stuff.
Yeah, the primitive form is one guy reads the chat room and forwards a good question.
Yes.
I'm talking about like a more advanced version.
My point is that the theory is well known and understood. Like it should
have. But these social media people have the powers that be so suckered into the sanctity of drivel. It is just amazing, right?
Mm.
And reading it, I felt bad because there's a bunch of kids desperately interested in the games they're showing or wanting requests to see other games or whatever. And they are drowned by idiots.
Yeah. Right?
This is not how the industry PR should be working.
It's certainly not how communication is efficient.
So it's there's that. Second of all, dragon butts.
I was about to say, did you want to complain about golf or dragon butts?
I'm not going to complain about golf. I feel sorry for people who push golf games because often a lot of us play them. Every console has to have them, at least one. No one wants to make them. So watching a grown
human exciting features have kind of been tapped out, too.
Watching a professional, who I would consider a peer in the industry, have to drum up enthusiasm to explain to the camera how your virtual golfer will change his own clothes. I feel sorry for that person.
That was three AI programmers to get that. You know that, right?
I feel so. That's an undignified place to be. I realize they're probably pulling down 110 Gs a year, so it helps. But it's undignified.
Were you even excited about the golf course editor?
Yeah, well, like I said, making your own courses are neat, right? Yeah. Like this thing about the virtual community where people are going to pay money to go onto other people's golf courses? Yeah, I'm not so sure.
I'm not so sure. I watched that thing, and I watched the bit where... It wasn't just the, and I put a dog leg here, and then I put a bunker here. There was a lot of time put into what type of refreshments tent should we put over to the side?
Yes.
We'll put some tables. Right. Like, I'm like, you're two steps away from the silverware.
Right, and picking because what are they doing? They're filling out a feature list for a producer meeting.
Yeah.
And that page has to be a page long of bullet points. So it's just like shoelace colors. Even better...
Yeah.
If you have a plan to get Nike to put Nike on the shoelaces.
Do you think he was last minute? It was supposed to be Tiger Woods, and then he got arrested? that was golf.
Go to a Tiger Woods.
Tiger Butt. Arc.
Arc.
Survival Evolved.
Okay, here's the thing. If any of you end up in PR jobs where it's your job to look very good looking to either sex or both, and demo games and chat it up about games.
To the public,
please take a couple elementary courses in showing off games in which you learn don't let the camera linger on clipping plane issues, nor run the camera up under a dinosaur's butt and leave it there for 20 seconds while you talk about crap. Literally.
Nor do we want to see rock textures.
Nor do we want to talk rock textures and learn to do interesting things. If you cannot multitask, then please hire another person to play the
game. Well, the flip side of the coin is we watched the Metro demo they put on.
Right, but that was a can. That was a can trailer. Right.
No, I know.
Right, so that's totally different, right?
What I mean is as a counterpoint.
Right, but the can trailer for Ark looks amazing, right? But you see, that's what's devastating about doing this. Because when I do... Any gamer tunes into this, they go, oh, the trailer, good. I want to watch someone play this.
Was Metro a trailer?
Oh, yeah, that was a trailer. That was real.
Gameplay, wasn't it?
Well, it was still a trailer. It was made.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Prepared.
It's not live.
It's not a person playing and talking.
Sure.
Right? But if a person's been playing or talking and spent the whole time with the camera focused on the wheel of the train.
Yeah.
Not so
exciting.
You know, also keep your frame rate up, people. Cheesy, crazy, right? Like, buy like a quantum computer if you have to.
See, that's a different thing because then you both got the game and the streaming.
Right, but we're not talking about people like us, right? No. Who have minimal funds to do stuff and have to make do. We are talking about people and games with more money than God.
So what you're saying, let me just read between the lines here. Bill Gates should stop saving people from malaria and invest a bit more in
So let me get this straight. What you're saying is it costs $12 billion to get a decent frame rate for a game that's already on the market.
I didn't say take back the money. I didn't say malaria is back on the menu. Nobody can save from malaria anymore. How many kids, Martin?
It's all for the kids.
1,000?
Those kids want
10,000?
Those kids want decent frame rate, I can tell you. I was reading that comment stream.
You live, Timmy. It's like, but the frame rate
Timmy,
is terrible.
That's your name for a North African kid with malaria, Timmy.
It's insulting, but at least it's not racially insulting.
Sorry, the white privilege is drowning.
So really, if I had pulled a name out of
I would acknowledge you.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just be very
He also said that all realistic names are butt names, by the way, in case you're keeping score at home.
God.
I will testify on your behalf.
Done yet?
The other comment of B3 is that, unfortunately, you can tell that art directors are all being headhunted by the same relatively small pool, and hence all the palettes are exactly the same.
Speaking of Metro again, Fallout, it was the same bland post-apocalyptic sepia brownie. Right. Although it was slightly more exciting every time he looked at a
window.
There were some flowers.
It was Fallout.
Yeah,
Fallout 4 with 400 more artists. That's it.
Sure, but your point is that the brown palette never changed.
The brown palette just, it's just...
I'm not sure what the point of moving into a 4K realm is.
And keeping the same crap palette.
If you're keeping the same...
Right, and, but the problem is not any limitation. The problem is that you're looking at probably 50 people...
Right.
Who have all worked together or been trained by each other.
Yeah.
Who keep being shifted from game to game for fairly outrageous wages. And they just keep getting headhunted from AAA project to the next.
Yeah.
And they all agree, right? Like, they all bloody agree about what the right answer is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that some of those right answers are so old that they were formed from times when limited color palettes were necessary.
Yeah.
Right? Look at the over-sepiaing of Fallout, right? Hey, kids, not recommending this, but if you're ever out, like, in the desert and you shoot something, do you know what the odds of losing it in the ground cover 4 feet away from you are? Zero. Because blood is bright, right? And torn-up flesh is actually fairly bright as well, right?
I'm wondering...
it's common.
Like, in a generation,
we'll have Degrassi on as a guest.
Yeah, so we can talk about this. Right. Like, I'm kind of wondering about the feasibility of everybody does everything to real world color values, and then much like TV and movies, you adjust the color as you want.
You need an artist has to make decisions. Yeah. I am in favor of that all art is interpreted through the eyes of an artist.
Right.
The problem is we have a groupthink artist in charge now.
Right.
Even though it's 50 different people, it is the same set of aesthetics,
right?
And I wish that would bloody change.
I just always turn the saturation off on my my television, and I call it whatever I'm playing, noir.
Noir, yeah, exactly.
Fallout noir.
What did they just do, a black and white version?
Logan.
Yeah, Logan.
Logan.
Yeah. Logan.
Ripping off Frank Darabont.
Yeah.
And actually, it's kind of a... Again, it's a cheesy, it's a gimmick, because what they did was take that, make it black and white, and pump it, like, just put it on the disc. Whereas the Mist with Darabont, he actually paid attention to light and shades.
Nearing the end of E3 segment, everyone's disappointed because we're so jaded.
Well, one of us more than the other, perhaps, but yes.
Okay. Who's watched more E3 stuff? Me, not you.
So you're
also, I was a reporter for 5 bloody years at E3, right? I'm pre-jaded.
It would have been simpler if I said one of us is more jaded than the other, and you just said me?
Do not make me tell the story of the hooker couch to these young people, please.
Right? The which? The hooker couch. Right. Was that God Games?
And that was 20. Yeah, that was GOD, and that was 20 years ago, just about. That's how cynical things were then. Now I can't even imagine. It's like a virtual hooker couch, right?
Gathering of developers.
And it's all about the games.
Hookers. And midget kiss.
How things go wrong. No, the midget thing was the next year. That was that same guy with more money and power. He had a very limited budget then.
Oh, okay. Sure.
You know what? We've made all the references. So we'll just tell the story. I'm at my first E3 as a reporter in 97.
No, because 97.
What was the year before Max Payne?
98.
Yeah, it was the year before. So 97. It was the year before Max Payne was released.
Yeah.
Because I was standing there with the GOD guy when two very, very nice, I think they were Finnish dudes. Were they Finns or Swedes?
I don't remember.
I think they might have been Finns, but I could be wrong. Anyways, very nice guys.
Did they hate Russians?
With a laptop. Very nice guys with a laptop walk up and said, "Would you like to see our shooter?" And it's like, sure, whatever. And that's kind of like somebody asking you to read their script in the back of a cab, right? So like, sure. And they show us Max Payne.
Right.
And then they show us the editor where they're extruding hallways in like 2 seconds and stuff.
Right.
Right. And I'm sitting there going, this is amazing, and I want the coverage for it. And the GOD rep beside me, who's just their PR guy, goes, "I'm leaving you in this room. Do not let them leave until I come back. Whatever it takes, I will pay you."
Who is this?
Because he was just a PR guy for GOD.
For GOD, okay.
Right, and he went tearing out of that room to find legal, right?
Oh.
To lock them down before they talked to any other publisher on Earth.
They weren't signed with them at that
point. No, nothing.
Okay.
They wandered in off the floor. They were just babes in the woods.
Right? Wow.
Yep. And literally everybody sitting there like knew exactly what we were looking at as far as big deal was.
Yeah.
Like they showed us bullet literally, and you know, hopefully they haven't forgotten this event and hence will disagree with you. Yeah, like what are the odds of them listening to this podcast? but literally they showed us bullet time. And then asked us if we thought anybody would like it.
Yeah.
And that is literally when the GOD PR guy ran out of the room, right?
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier, speaking of starts. And speaking of Metro, Kerberos' first E3.
Yeah, we shared a room with the Metro.
Shared space with the Metro.
Worked out well for them. Not as well for us.
Well, that's not true. Different paths.
We are not a Sepia E3 exclusive this year.
We are not. That is true.
So, the other thing, the same PR agent
should have went with trains.
Before that moment happened, a friend of mine had got me into the floor the night before. By the way, where I learned my amazing respect for Teamsters.
Okay. Oh, how quickly?
I was on the floor at E3 at 10:30 the night before E3 starts. So E3 is starting in exactly 9 hours.
Yeah.
When the show people come in and then another 3 hours to open the door. It looks like backstage at the Charlie Brown Christmas special has exploded.
Right.
There's nothing. There's a couple pieces of plywood, a few curtains at weird angles, a lot of boxes.
Rolls of carpet here and there.
Rolls of carpet here and there, and cable everywhere.
Yeah.
And five guys walking around scratching themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I'm just looking at it, and I go, oh my God. This is my year, right?
Yeah.
My first year, my story is the first E3 that never was. Because it's not happening. Some disaster's occurred. I'm talking to people like 500 Teamsters have been killed in a truck crash or something. It's not happening. Like, I am literally working on the headlines, right? Yeah. In my notebook. Like, no E3, dead E3, D3, right? Literally. They created that entire show. And what was cracking up is that the old timers I was hanging with were laughing at me because I'm just like, oh my God. And they're like, just wait. I'm like, do you have no idea? They're like, wait. All right. Yeah. And even then, we left the floor about 1 a.m. that night, right? And it was still just a fucking disaster, right? Like, literally, there was enough things done, enough resources off for maybe one presentation, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Right. And just boxes of like monitors. Like, there was literally not enough time to unbox the monitors, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Never mind set them up. Just take them out of the boxes.
Bolting, scaffolding together and all that.
Forget that stuff. Just pile them up in a corner. Right.
Yeah.
And I came in again like 7 hours later, bleary eyed, and it was perfect. And there it was.
The only thing more amazing than that is how quickly it gets torn down.
So I never, ever let anybody get away with a Teamster joke ever again. Because they are, like, amazing, magical.
Look for the union label.
They are literally 300-pound elves and gnomes, right? They're just not teeny tiny.
I dare you to call them out to their faces.
We did a couple times.
All right, we got about 10 minutes to talk about cool stuff we're looking at.
Okay, so I guess we'll save the hooker couch story.
We didn't get to the hooker couch.
No, we'll save it. Right. That's it, folks. Our parents and the ducks have to wait till next time. It's a lure. Maybe the ducks will talk to a pig or a goat and we'll have more people.
Fine, we're saving it for next time.
Yeah, well, people's a strong word, but sentient is also a strong word. Mammals. We will have more mammals in the audience.
All right. For next show. Other stuff we're enjoying.
Other stuff. Games we're enjoying. Things we're enjoying. What are we going to do first? Games or TV?
Wonder Woman.
Movies then.
You've seen it twice. I saw it.
Since last we've talked, we've seen Logan.
Wonder Woman.
And
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. And those have been the three big hits.
Yes.
It's because only superhero movies count, because nerds now rule the earth.
Doctor Strange?
No, that was ages ago. The DVD just came out.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about Doctor Strange. Okay, anyways.
I don't know if we did or not, but it's ancient history.
I think we might have, but anyways.
So, Logan, amazing.
Yeah.
Sad. I had a person who didn't know, like, I saw it, and they said, I'm going to go see, is it any good? And I was like, it is freaking amazing. And they're like, do you want to see it again with me? I'm like, no. Right.
I need time.
Logan is now in the Brazil category for me.
Right.
In which the movie is brilliant. I'm only psychologically prepared to watch it for very special reasons.
Yeah.
Like, I can only watch Brazil once every 2 years.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. I think.
And I turn it off. And I turn it off at the country ending.
Right.
I just hit stop.
Yeah.
And people who've never seen the movie get mad at me. It's like, trust me.
It's the end of the movie. No,
away. It's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
They get away. Right. Spoiler. So Logan's kind of like that, right? Like, I saw it again, but with very special person, yeah. Right? That was it. And the other interesting thing is that I really like Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Mm.
And is typical now for a Marvel movie.
Right.
It's been a month and a bit. I don't remember what I liked about it that much, right? Like, yeah. They are, it's like, no, it's like the Thor movies. Like, when I went to see the Thor movies, I enjoyed them. I can't tell you, right? Like, and when I watch it again, I'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, it's, no, I mean, remember parts of movies, but, I mean, the thing that stuck to me the most was, oh, watching the movie, I realized why there were so many douchebag dude songs in the soundtrack. Right?
Because it's the ultimate.
Because I bought the soundtrack first. I went, what? Like, after the third one, I'm like, what the hell, folks, right? There's literally a song in the soundtrack where the guy is singing, and I'm not sure how you come up with singing this, but basically singing is like, lady, I just told you, we're just like the sex. That was it, right? Yeah. Like this hand holding shit, not happening.
Right.
It's like, dude, you wrote that in a song? Like you were so confident of how you felt and that you were going to be affirmed that you wrote a song about it?
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, like I said, I bought the soundtrack first. I'm just like, why are all these? And then I watch it and say, oh, okay, I get it now. Spoiler.
But Wonder Woman's the one you'd watch over and over and over.
Over and over. Wonder Woman I've now seen twice.
Yeah.
Again, because trying to see movies, all the large clan of people in my life is impossible in one sitting.
Right.
And it was amazing, right? And Wonder Woman will stick. And that is the advantage to the that DC movies have over Marvel ones, right?
Right.
The majority of Marvel movies are the best popcorn in the world. Very few of them stick with me, right?
Right.
Like, Captain America, Winter Soldier sticks with me, right?
Yeah.
Civil War kind of sticks with me, but loses me for the last third, right? Still loved every minute of it, but I'm just talking about the experience, right?
Yeah.
Age of Ultron, kind of same thing, right? Like, amazing. If it wasn't for the couple that Joss made sure to get a couple classic pieces of shot into that movie, like Thor, Vision, and Iron Man burning Ultron, right?
Yeah.
That's an Avengers fan shot right
there. Right, yeah,
Iron Man movies, haven't watched one of them again in years, right? Like, they're all good while you're there.
Yeah.
But they don't, there's no, it's not like, DC movies are more trouble, but they have a moral weight to them, which even if you don't like them, you've got something to say about them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't care. People can hate Man of Steel or Superman versus Batman, but they have things they hate about them. It's stuck to them in some way, right? No one hates Thor 2.
Like, no.
No, but I dare you to tell me your favorite parts from it.
Yeah.
Right? There was some dark stuff and an elf and some stuff.
I am slightly perturbed with people that are running into that and they're calling it I'm burnt out on.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, I know.
Right. It's kind of
like... But whatever... What cracks me up is that, especially critics, keep calling. They've been calling the death of superhero comics for 10 years now, right? And you know what? They can blow us because it's a mythology that's lasted 75 years.
Yeah.
They can just blow me, right?
Well, here's the thing. What you're describing is almost exactly the same as when it comes to reading the comics themselves.
Right, it is. That's what that...
An issue, you watch a movie, you enjoy it, and then a little while later,
I enjoyed my run, reading the run of Booster Gold.
Yes.
I cannot tell remember you special moments from Booster Gold.
And you will revisit it, and you'll enjoy it again, and then can't remember.
Yeah, can't remember.
The point is, every once in a while...
But Demon in a Bottle, you remember.
Somebody will make a really amazing one.
Yeah.
That, just because they're not all that, doesn't mean that you get to go, I'm kind of burnt out on reading comics.
No, you just read for what they are, right? And, but that's important. But neither should you try and elevate Booster Gold to art, right?
No.
The problem I have, especially with the Marvel movie fanboys, it's like, oh my God, Iron Man 3 is the best movie ever. No, it wasn't. It was an entertaining movie. Yeah. Actually, it's the worst of the three. But the point is, it was like an average issue of Iron Man. And in fact, it missed some of the things, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I can tell you, because I'm going through my 80s Iron Mans right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Jerry Conway, worst internal dialogue writer ever. You see, we need to post some links to that, because you need to post that shot to people.
I have them on the phone, because he keeps subjecting me to them, people.
Oh, come on, people. Who here wants an OJ ad selling stuff to kids? You all want to see it.
No, the OJ ads are pretty good.
Oh, they're awesome.
It's when you send me pages of Iron Man talking to himself.
That's right. That has to be seen to be believed, right? And to be honest, that's a reality check for old nerds who go, oh, the movies just don't capture everything perfect about comics. Like, you know what? There's a lot of imperfect bits about the comics.
Yeah.
I would settle if the movies captured the best. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't.
And unfortunately, the Disney takeover of Marvel is that it means Marvel is being flooded with people who think they know better.
Yeah.
So, but it's still filled with the Joe Quesada, you did this right once, you should be in charge of everything.
Yeah.
So James Gunn did an excellent job. I really like the two stupid movies of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Right? Mainly because I respect him because he broke the buy rule, right? Yeah. James Gunn at least had the fucking balls to take a group of characters who had very little to do with each other and expect the audience to come with.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of Disney movies are terrified that if you have Iron Man fighting someone who isn't made by Tony Stark, that you will be confused and angry and run out of the theater, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Iron Man can fight the Grey Gargoyle, and he didn't have to create him. Okay, yes, that's how comics work.
And failure number one of this is that what we saw early on in the Marvel Studios, where they said, and they're all going to play together, is Disney stepped in and said, no, they don't get to go to the TV show. Netflix doesn't get to go over to the movies.
Because we are just old school movie crap hierarchy.
We're cordoning these off from one another. They're not allowed to play with one another.
Yeah.
So, is somebody sending you Tony Stark scans?
No. I mean, so like I said, Gunn, I really like what he's doing. On the other hand, Gunn has decided it's hilarious that all original Guardians of the Galaxy characters are space hillbillies now and moonshiners.
The Ravagers?
The Ravagers.
Yeah.
Right. So, Yondu, right?
Yeah.
So, you know what? It's a choice.
Yeah.
But because he made money, suddenly Marvel Productions is like, you should be in charge of the entire Marvel movie cosmic line. It's like, really? Because that hillbilly thing is going to run out of steam pretty freaking quick. And not only that, but no offense for Guardians 2, spoiler alert coming, they're fighting ego. To which Gunn chooses to give us the giant superhero movie tentacles again.
Right.
Which is like the seventh movie we've seen. Whereas he has a superhero team, and if you read any Ego stories, Ego's defense, physical defense, is millions of hexagon head rock people, which would look awesome being beaten up by a diverse
team.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Instead, he went with the tentacles. It's like, oh, God, I think that's mailing it in, right?
Yeah.
You know, the point is, like I said, there are certain things where it's just like, I like what he's done. I would like to hear other voices, though, right?
Yeah.
You know, having him set the tone for everything because he did okay on a couple of movies, it's like typical terrible thinking, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we'll know soon enough because Infinity War is on its way.
Oh, yeah. And yes, if I have to watch one more Into Themselves nerd podcast where they talk about how, like, they've figured out that the movie after that is called Gauntlet and why it would be. Yeah, we all know. Don't shout out the easy ones, right? Jeezy crazy, right? Also, by the way, if one more person posts a explaining the end of a movie that didn't need to be explained, I am going to toss the entire internet off a cliff, right?
Sure.
You know what was fine for? Explain the ending of Inception. Sure. Okay. There's explain the ending of Blade Runner. Well, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think it's fairly obvious, but whatever. A little mystery there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Explain the ending of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. What? Was it for people who were asleep in the theater?
Yeah. What?
People from Neptune, right? Like, you know, Paramecia, right? Like, seriously.
The internet is vast. It's not going to fill itself.
It's vast, and people think that being stupid is a virtue. Okay, moving on from... Oh, TV shows. Any TV shows?
Stop bouncing your knee. That's going
to... That was an earthquake. We're about to be... We are taping through a lethal earthquake.
What did I finish? I finished Flash.
Flash. Oh, what'd you think of the ending of Flash? Probably not going into details because don't have. I thought it was a gutsy move to eliminate the who got to wear their big person shorts at the very end.
Yeah.
Right.
You mean the
resolution of the enemy problem.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting, although it does touch
on... Oh, you know what? Stop listening. He went, you know, but you realize I threw him in the Speed Force, right? Because they paint themselves in a corner with all that stupid altering reality.
Yeah, they
shit.
Need to reset.
So
stuff.
He needs to come out as Jesus, basically, and say, "Speed Force, I've Jesus. Learned, I've learned my lesson." None of that.
Although my one thing about it was, I see what you're saying, and I understand where it's going, and I agree that maybe that has to be done.
That's writer.
It also touches onto that thing you're talking about, where it's the Flash. Everything has to be the Speed Force. It's like,
yeah,
no, really, can you not fight Captain Boomerang a couple more times, please? Like,
yeah.
They're very, very stingy with their Rogues Gallery stuff, and they love their season arcs of speedster
villains. And they have
villains.
Budget. They have budget. Like I said, it's budget problems, right? Mm. Like, it's hard to make a super... And that guy's making, what, 5 superhero shows, right?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, entertainment news.
Okay.
The other reason why I want to beat up the internet. So
with his fists.
DC has announced they're doing, and the CW, they're doing a streaming service just for Warner Brothers superhero stuff.
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yep.
To which I have to listen to a pundit explain that, huh, I'm not sure just having... And they announced, the two big announcements are Titans.
Right.
Teen Titans Live. And Young Justice Season 3.
Yes.
Right? So I have to listen to a guy seriously look at me through the TV screen going, I'm not sure you can run an entire streaming service on 2 shows. So maybe they should think about like playing reruns of like Flash and Arrow and stuff. It's like, oh, I'm glad you thought of it.
Yeah, no.
I hope they're watching because no one else would have thought of that. You idiots.
Talk about explaining the end of
and
a movie.
I guarantee you next year, that dude will do an episode going, I'm glad they listened to me.
I'm so glad they listened to us. It's like,
But anyways, that news is very, like, if we could live in a world that had a superhero dedicated streaming service,
it
would be a wonderful world.
When we should have been working, we killed about an hour counting up. You could fill a day.
You could fill a day easily these days.
You
right?
just run every, although it was awkwardly something like 18 and a half hours, and then Powerless, why I don't know, got canceled.
Yeah, because it was on another station. But
yeah,
they could just easy. I mean, the streamer service. I don't think any of those people are doing too much that they couldn't afford to be back.
I liked Powerless. Powerless was great.
I thought it was cute. I didn't. The lead girl didn't do it for me. Right? She was trying to marry Tyler Moritz, and she just she was the least interesting person on the show.
Okay. Right? Well, sure.
Sorry, did you have a Sandy Duncan thing going on that I didn't know about?
No, but in shows like that, you need the...
She did, but she was the most generic sitcom character.
Yes.
Right? What's-his-face's assistant, she was awesome, the mean lady. She got to say lines that most women characters don't get to say.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Putty and the other guy were funny, right? You know? So, yeah, you know. I thought, yes, it was demise was uncalled for.
Yeah, no, they should have.
And it got treated poorly. They didn't even get to show their full run.
No.
Right, you know. But whatever.
Although that's another good indication that it'll probably show up.
It's for a TV station that doesn't think that Big Bang Theory is racist against nerds. Which it is, by the way. I hate to break to you people, but for our kind, Big Bang Theory is the good times of nerdery. I don't mean by that it's enjoyable. I mean, go back on YouTube and try watching an episode of Good Times.
It's nerd face.
It's nerd face, right? It is not. There are two types of parodies. There's parodies written by people who love the subject matter, a.k.a. The Tick. The Tick is funny.
Right.
Because What's-His-Face loves his comic books.
Right.
And he knows them inside out. What was the Mystery Men? Is written by people who hate comics and think we're pathetic and sad.
Right.
Right. And it's a mean, nasty piece of crap.
Right. Right.
And it's not very funny. Right. Those are two types of parodies.
Gotcha.
So Powerless is written by people who love DC Comics. They're making fun of Batman and crap, but they love it. Right. Yeah. And it's really charming.
Yeah.
Right. Big Bang Theory is written by people who hate nerds. Right. and are willing to poke at them with sticks in the cage so they make funny noises.
Yes.
Right? It is like good. Like I said, we need a word that's like racist, but it's for types of people and stuff.
Oh, I've got it. Chaotic good times.
Yes! That's dynamite.
Dynamite.
For those of you not old enough to remember, the 70s was a frightening
and sad place. I'm going to write that down.
Frightening and sad.
Other than that, let's see here. I'm still behind on Iron Fist.
Yeah, I'm pushing to get to the end of it.
Trying to get to the end
of
it.
Okay, look, people. It's Iron Fist, speaking of racist, is not racist. It's just boring.
It's just boring.
It's just boring. In fact, it's not even terrible boring. It's just average. The other three shows were above average.
Yeah.
This show has nothing to say. Right?
I would like to go back to the earlier discussion, though, that sometimes you just take it for what it is. Iron Fist, I'm enjoying
for what it is. Iron Fist is a crap comic, right?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I hate to break this to anybody, but I read the original run of Power Man and Iron Fist every once in a while.
Yeah, they weren't
It was not spectacular. No. Had a couple of cool bits, right?
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I was more of a fan of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Although that was, technically, a million times more racist, even though it starred an Asian character, right?
Yeah, trouble with the old Charlie Chan trouble with, was it, pronouns and prepositions.
Oh, like I said, this is what cracked me up by people complaining about Danny Rand. It's like, do you realize that the only other martial arts character they had to choose from fought his uncle, a villain who went by the name of the Yellow Claw? So, people, perspective.
Hang on now.
Compared to that.
Slow down.
Compared to that, Iron Fist is Gandhi.
Small aside, though, a couple of days ago, a Bruce Lee Facebook group site posted somebody had film footage of him at some demonstration in the 70s against a karate guy.
Yeah.
So, state rule. Yeah, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I really wish we could have seen him fight more.
I really wish he hadn't been removed from the world, right?
But, you know. If you can go find it, it's really quite amazing.
Yeah, right.
Because all of that stuff, like you watch a lot of the Kung Fu movies, which are beautiful to watch, but all that stuff is slightly mythical
stuff.
Right. His stuff had a function and
that's
worked.
That's why I like the biopic, the good one, right? Yeah. Because it is a mixture of mythology.
Yeah.
Drama and crap that happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I saw that movie with a man who was intimate with Bruce Lee's life.
Right.
So it was fascinating because I'm sitting there watching it and the voice beside me is going, happened, didn't happen.
Happened.
That happened, but not that way. Didn't happen. Happened. Right.
Lyle Wagner's a jerk.
Yes. And to be honest, the weirdest thing is the part that I would have picked as the most fakey, which was ritual combat in order to be able to teach karate to white
Americans.
People actually happened.
Yeah. Right?
There was no spine breaking. But that duel happened.
Yeah.
That blows my mind and is awesome in comic booky. Right.
What else?
No. Stuff that's not comic book related. Try to watch Dear White People.
I haven't had a chance to watch it
yet. If it makes you upset, get over yourself. Also, it's funny because every person who complained about that title never watched the show because the show makes fun of those people in the first 5 minutes, right? So, you know, but watch it. It is actually a fascinating show about relationships and college and relevant college life and stuff. And like I said, if you're uncomfortable, there's very few reasons to be, right? Like, stop being a special snowflake. But yeah, it is brilliant. What else is good?
I've watched some documentaries, but
there's a new season of American Ninja Warrior coming.
Oh, is there?
Watch it.
Hang on a sec. Speaking of superheroes, when did the superheroes show up on it?
Oh, yeah, I know. I need to see the episode where Arrow is on for the full episode.
I saw that clip of him.
What a nice Canadian boy, though.
I know.
Right? Like, no starting, no posturing.
No.
Like, Steven Seagal is just like, I am terrified beyond any ability to speak.
And then the funny part is to show what kind of shape he's in. He actually kind of eased his way through stuff.
Oh, he did the course. He just didn't do it fast.
No,
right? But he attacked it like a man who is interested in see if he can do it.
Just see if he can do it.
Not like Steven Seagal trying to prove he's better than everybody.
Well, because everybody's on there is like, I'm here to win. And he's like, I'm here to have fun. And if I don't win, I'm going back to my TV show.
What? No, it wasn't even that. He was just gracious to everybody. Yeah. He was about to do something really painful. And people yell and he just like acknowledged them. Right.
Yeah.
He's a good Canadian boy. Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, that show should be watched.
Okay.
It should also be watched by everyone, special, speaking of you special snowflakes out of there, you guys out there, and I know other than the Duxer mom, you must know, someone out there must know a guy like that who's like, women can't be in the special forces because it's scientifically proven that men are 30% stronger no matter what. Yeah. At the maximum extent. Guess what? My 30% is a lot less than other women's in the world. Okay?
That's right.
Right? American Ninja Warrior is brilliant because it's one course.
Yes.
And God bless them, everybody runs it.
Yep.
Men run it. Women run it.
Yep.
People with disabilities run it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is equal playing field.
Yep.
And you're right. There are more dudes that finish the course than women. But if you pay attention, every year, more women finish the course.
Yes.
More women get to the final. Yeah. Because the point of equality is showing that something is allowed, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, watching the women that compete there, I couldn't get through one.
No.
Right? The thing where they jump from pad to pad, I'd face plant the water the first one.
I've recently reached an age where I realized that if I don't do something about it, I'm just going to curl up into a couch potato ball and never be able to move.
Sorry, your couch with wheels is here, yeah. Sir.
So I started trying to do something about it, which means while I'm not the world's strongest man, I certainly have reacquainted myself with a little bit of core strength.
Yeah.
All it's given me is a certain amount of muscle memory that when I watch American Ninjas, I go, and that's the point where I would fail. Because yeah, I know watching these people, I'm like, and that's the point where I couldn't do it. So, American, what's the knife show? Because the knife show wasn't on last time.
Oh, Forge and Fire. Also, yeah, everybody, those of you who like your RPG swordy stuff, try and watch Forge and Fire.
Yes, I still haven't seen it, but you make it sound really awesome. No, what's it on?
Just go upstairs.
What's it on?
I've got 80 episodes recorded. You have a TVR built into your cable box?
I don't have cable.
How much am I paying you?
I don't have time to watch what I do have.
That's why you have TVR.
No, it just fills up then, and 10 years later, I die.
You like horses?
Oh, my God. He never finished.
You like horses.
Do you like horses?
sorry, old Patton Oswalt joke there for you people. Oh, tell your fans to stop calling you.
I should. Well, the thing is, I kind of need... When you have a family, you kind of need to keep the line open, but yeah. Anyways... do you like horses?
Do you like horses? But
yeah, yes, I do.
Stop it. No, Forge and Fire. I got my episode upstairs. We'll go watch an episode where he had a...
If time allows, sure. Let's hurry up then.
Forget the...
Want to watch one.
Forget our moms.
I want to see the crazy...
Forget our moms and the ducks.
The death cult guy you keep talking about.
Oh, the Kali fighter. Yeah, he's awesome. people are so dumb. But it is really good. Forging work, watching four people work a forge in a limited time to make a knife and then go home to make a big fancy historical weapon.
Yeah.
It's a great show. I really like it. It's my favorite reality show since the Shooter Show.
What was that called? Marksman?
Nope.
Sniper?
Nope.
World's Best Sniper?
Nope. Not the I hate those creepy
Super Shooter?
Nope. It was Shootout. No.
Shootout.
Look it up and insert it up. Yeah, edit it in afterwards. Sure. But that was a great reality show because it was just people who were good at shooting.
Actually, go back in our episodes because I think we talked about it in an earlier episode.
But anyways, I like reality shows that are about skilled, talented people, not stupid drama, right?
Yeah.
So the makeup, the face-off show, I like watching that, right? Because those are skilled people doing cool things, right? And every once in a while, you can tell the producers tried to drum up drama, but it doesn't. The more actually competent someone is at something, the less they're interested in drama, right?
Yeah, there's been a switch... that I really like, because the one thing I've always hated about reality TV is the amount that they put on the ha-ha, look at the dumb person, let's laugh at them. And there's been a shift somewhere along the way where they're like, why don't we just show competent people? So even America's Got Talent and stuff like that. Remember that those started with William Hung.
Yeah.
Bring out the really earnest guy who cannot sing.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. Now every week a clip goes up where they're like, they were unsure about this person when they came out, but listen to them sing, like every single one
better, but there's still a bit of fall the Roman
it's getting
Empire
better
about
though.
I just like sticking with straight people who are really good at shit.
Yeah. This is not your
Also, bring back the jousting reality show.
Dude, I'm totally jousting.
Dude, totally jousting. This is the best season of television ever.
This is not your thing at all, but I stumbled upon a documentary on Netflix called Stretch and Bobbito. It's about these two university kids, New York kids, with a love for hip-hop.
Right.
That got a college radio show, and for a six-year period, basically were the tastemaker of the second
He will movie. Not accept the fact they will not let him into the hip-hop club.
That's just insulting. It really is. What I like is documentaries that catalog a cultural point in time, like a cultural touchstone.
Yeah.
I have the same reaction when I watch Dogtown and the Z-Boys.
Well, that's why I like what Netflix has been doing in general, is that they've paid for five or six shows about pivotal moments in music history, but about the people in them. Not documentaries per se.
No.
Some of them are dramatizations, right? But I think that's cool because those bits of history get no coverage in the mainstream.
What I liked about it the most is that these guys, university kids, they said they recorded about one in every two shows or something like that.
Yeah.
This is pre-internet. So the tape trading was still going on.
Right, yeah.
And they were talking about, like, they had, what's her name? Rosie Perez?
Yeah.
So she's a New York actress, but had gone to L.A. by that point. Her friends would tape the show on Thursday night, pop it in the mail, and by Saturday morning, she'd have it in her hands. And all the people in L.A. thought she was amazing tastemaker. She's like,
you nearly lured me into my alternate Earth Rosie Perez impression from the
from New York when we went to New York,
which can never be said.
Never be said. No, there's no good way to do it.
No.
The other interesting thing, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
If she could not be cooler, they couldn't get her on the documentary for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They had audio of her on the college radio show because she was attending at the time, and she's into hip hop and all.
She's super awesome.
But what's amazing about the whole thing is these guys. It was like 20 years or something like that. They sat down and they visited all these hip-hop guys that are huge now, like Jay-Z, guys that even you would recognize the name.
Even me.
And they were playing them tapes. And
did they ever open for Billy Joel?
No, they didn't.
Then I probably don't know them.
Without fail, no matter how big they were, every single one of these guys, they would like play this tape of them on the show.
Did they ever play a cop on CSI?
No, they never did.
You tried to tell me that this guy... Kids off on pictures of little girls?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Exposition T. Thank you very much.
Sorry, that's a John Mulaney joke.
That is.
If you haven't watched, speaking of stuff to watch, watch the John Mulaney specials on
Netflix. Oh, hello. Is what it's called. Yeah.
No, the other two as well.
Oh, the other two. We talked about those last time.
I don't think we did.
We did. I bet
did
you.
We?
I think we did.
It's possible.
Without
I don't watch. I don't listen to this show.
Shut up. Without fault, every single one of these guys, Jay-Z does not need anything.
No.
He's listening to this tape, and he looked these guys in the eye and said, can I get a tape of this? Cultural touchstone. I want to go. I want to watch people make knives. So
it's also Comic Day. Well, yesterday was Comic Day. Games. No, we haven't covered games we're playing.
Oh, shoot.
Games we're playing. Interesting games we're playing. Play out there. Play Terraforming Mars.
I haven't played it yet. You keep talking about
it's
it.
It's amazing.
Seven Wonders?
Seven Wonders is an old game. That's old news, dude.
I don't get to play too many.
Okay, all he's doing is looking through the gaming sanctum sanctorum and just naming things.
Star Trek? Carcassonne.
Shut up.
Elder Sign?
The sign you're about to hear is a man killed by a Star Trek playing card.
Look over here. Attack?
That's right. Play Mysterium. Mysterium is very cool.
What the hell is Mysterium?
No. Mysterium is Ghost Clue.
Oh, cool.
No. It's cooler than you think. Picture playing Clue.
Yeah.
Except one of you is the murder victim or the ghost of the victim.
Right.
And you can only communicate to the other players using impressionistic watercolor paintings.
That you make?
No, that you've drawn from a deck of cards.
Wow. Okay, I got to play this game.
Yeah, it is wonderful. It is really wonderful.
And a minor shout out, Broken Token. You introduced me to Broken Token. The guys who make the custom inserts for
Yes. I got the one for Terraforming Mars
and you got me the one for my Gloom card collection.
Also, Survive. Play Survive Escape from Atlantis or Survive Space Attack. Both of those are wonderful quick little games.
All right. Can we just play them before we do another one, and then we'll talk about them in detail next time?
I've played them.
You've played them, but I don't. I'd rather play them than
only one of us cares about games for real. The other one's a poser.
One of us is in control of the mix of the podcast.
Think about it. Producer and poser both start with a P.
Be a real shame. Be a real shame if you sounded like Alvin and the Chipmunks for an entire podcast.
Say, think about it.
There you go. That the one normal sounding line. Right. All right.
Okay.
Well, once again, Curb Stomp, we will, as always, endeavor to be a bit more frequent. I still want to do the little mini ones because I think that's a good way to keep
it. We love you, moms and ducks.
But for once again, me, Chris Stewart, here with Martin.
Me, Martin.
Martin Searless. The most cynical of the jaded of the...
Yeah, I'm hopeful and full of boyish enthusiasm.
Excellent. On that note, see you later, everybody.
Bye.